This episode of On a Dark Cold Night is brought to you by BetterHelp. We all have different capacities for social interactions. The moment I started respecting and watching my social meter, as though it were a health bar in a video game, I started learning how to take care of myself better. I thrive off of my alone time. Others thrive off of social time. We all have different needs. And therapy is a great way to give you the self-awareness to explore what yours are. Through therapy, I learned some skills, like how to remain calm when my social meter is running low, or how to find little moments of quiet time to breathe and recenter when I'm in prolonged social situations. If you're thinking of therapy, BetterHelp is a great way to get started. It's all online and designed to be flexible, convenient, and well-suited to your schedule. You fill out a quick questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and if you don't find your therapist to be a good fit, that's totally fine. You can switch therapists at any time with no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/darkcold today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/darkcold. This is a good time to take a break for a breath together. Breathe in slowly and deeply. Pause here. And release the breath slowly and gently. Time for the theme song. Meanwhile, here I am in the story room, even still. The castle has been distilled to this, hasn't it? A room floating in a black hole, a chaotic void all around it. Open the windows, and you'll see it. Eating everything all around us. And yet we're safe in here. In this space where we agree to share time and consciousness for a little bit. I have been busy haunting myself. A me that doesn't know what to do with me. She's quite all right. I was just teasing her. That's all. I'm all right, too. We're fine. In the stillness of the shadows here, and the action of the fire, and the chaos of the void, we are absolutely fine. And I have a story for you. It's a story for this full moon tonight, for the lunar eclipse. A story about hiding and revealing, about big and terrible and wonderful feelings. But most of all, it is a story about love. There was once a man who was very angry and very sad and very ashamed and very frightened. The truth was that he was very flawed, but he was quite human. He had hurt others, but he had been hurt. He had regret in himself and resentment for others. He had wonderfully big feelings that caused him pain, some of which were brought about by things he had done, others by things done to him by others. It doesn't matter what it was he did. He had had enough of all of it, anyway. And he was removing himself from everyone. He was retreating into the silence and the darkness of solitude. Because, at least there, he wouldn't have to worry about others hurting him or others being hurt by him. He wouldn't have to feel the weight of their or his shame. Or so he thought. How powerful, after all, is shame. He marched off into the woods with only a little bag of food over his shoulder, tied into a cloth parcel, carried on a big stick. And he was bound for solitude. He walked towards the sunset and down a lonesome path. And he kept thinking that, as soon as I reach that horizon, I will feel a lightness I've never felt before in my life. I will be free from pain and judgment and hurt and envy and all those nasty things within me. But the horizon kept stretching further and further away from him, and that lightness never came. But the forest grew more and more dense and dark, and he felt a little like a scared child, alone in this wilderness as he was now. Owls cried out in anger around him. Hidden tree branches were sharp as they scraped his skin. Toads bellowed mocking croaks as he stumbled in the mud. Wolves howled in the distance, their threats to come closer and closer. Just as he thought he might curl up in a little ball and weep for the first time in his adult life, he saw a little light flickering in a lantern far away. He followed it. He didn't even give himself time to think that it might be connected to a person, and that he was done with people. He was frightened, and he sought out that light. That's all. Which is more powerful, after all? Shame or fear? When he reached the light, he found that it was brought about by a candle sat in a little lantern. The lantern was decorated with colorful glass, and that glass was painted over with charming little shapes, red hearts, white rabbits, pink flowers, yellow bumblebees. He looked under it. and there were pages and pages of little drawings on mud-stained paper. Little poems with funny little rhymes. I love you, said the daisies. I love you, said the fawn. I love you in darkness. I love you by dawn. He found himself smiling for a brief moment at the sweetness of the thing. Perhaps it was written by a mother or father to a child. Who could know? The unconditional love pouring out of the simple words, drawn simply, were impossible to not love back unconditionally. But the conditions came back, as he thought he would never know that kind of love. That was not meant for him. He frowned. He felt jealousy towards these items. He felt shame for feeling that jealousy. He felt guilt. The familiar feelings came back, and he then felt resentment that he had not yet traveled so far as to avoid pain, even through all this. And when he saw a pair of yellow eyes watching him from the shadows, flickering like fireflies, but impossibly fireflies, given it was not yet summer, and they stood so perfectly still, they could not be fireflies. He felt fear once more. He ran past the owls, the trees, the toads, and the wolves. And he slipped and fell in water, realizing quickly and dreadfully that it was a frigid lake. Something large and scaled angrily brushed against his leg, and he cried out and stumbled backwards into a boat that was almost falling apart, so old was its wood. But it still stayed afloat, and it was still dry enough inside. He took a deep breath. His hands stretched out to find balance in the thing, and they immediately crushed themselves into something brittle and flimsy, like dry paper. But he cut himself on a thorn and realized they were roses. Piles and piles of roses in this little boat. In the night he could not tell their color. Perhaps they were black with age. There was also a little parcel full of rotting strawberries, little cakes, an empty bottle with a ribbon tied around it. His hands found papers here, too. Little notes once more. And in the bright light of the full moon, it was surprisingly easy to read what was here as well. I love you, said the roses. I love you, said the lake. I love you in joy and in deepest heartache. Lovers were here, he imagined. Two people deeply in love with one another. His heart was pulled this way and that in the blissful presence of that love, even ancient and decayed as it was. But then a coldness crept into him again, a bitterness at all the lost loves he'd never acquired, at all the rejection he'd endured at another's hands, at the friends he'd seen find someone, their one particular someone, and the ever-growing rage that he had never found his. He crushed the roses. He threw the bottle in the lake. He tore up the love notes. And he couldn't believe that he almost felt tears well up in his eyes. There it all was again. Shame, guilt, rage, resentment, regret. All that wonderfully decadent pain he was running away from. In the moonlight, it was revealed to him, in his heart, and he hated himself for it. He basked deliciously in that boiling self-hatred. But then, he noticed those two yellow, flickering eyes. Like firelight, like little candles watching him less than 6 feet away on the shore. He cried out and pushed the boat far away from the land, grabbed the rickety oars, and rowed, rowed, rowed his way across. He feared he was lost on this lake, so difficult was it to see land in the approaching fog. It must have been bigger than he'd anticipated. He rowed, 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 his eyes drooping, and his mind finally quieting down. Until his boat knocked against wood and startled him awake. It was a dock. He tied the little boat with the rotting rope he found there. And was glad to pull his cold body up on it. Through the fog he wandered off the dock towards grass. It was a little snowy, early spring after all, in the middle of a lake was quite chilling, and his hands shook and his nose ran and his lungs hurt. He'd long lost his parcel with food. What he wouldn't give for a warm fire and a meal. No sooner had he thought that, but did he smell smoke? The pleasant smell of wood burning. And he saw a light in the distance. It was coming from a little window. 1 foot after the other, he hobbled his freezing self towards it. The window belonged to a little house on this little island. He tried to look inside, but it was so filthy with dust and cobwebs he couldn't see inside. He found his way towards a door and found it to not only be unlocked, but to not have a lock at all. Why would one need it, he figured, on a little island such as this? He knocked, and there was no answer. He went inside, and though a fire was roaring within the hearth, he found everything else to be quite decrepit, rotten, dusty, and ancient, as all the other artifacts he'd been discovering along the way. There was a chair by the fire. He sat and he warmed himself. His clothes began to dry. He didn't have the energy to wonder who had lit it. He didn't have the sense to wonder if they were nearby. He only thought of his cold feet and hands and resting his weary eyes. But no sooner had they begun to close, did he hear something in the distance.
I love you, said the willow.
I love you, said the moon.
I love you the most when we're together again soon.
The song came closer and closer.
He tried to imagine what dreaded creature was coming his way. What phantom?
The ghost of a long-lost child, maybe. Two undead lovers searching for each other in the mist.
A witch luring children or men to their doom with promises of flowers and strawberries.
Worst, he thought, was if they found him. He wasn't an innocent child. He wasn't a joyful lover. He wasn't a caring parent. He was just a bitter, angry, hurtful man. What would they do when they found him in their home?
It was right outside the door now, growing louder and louder, maddeningly so. Something about it filled him with that anger. It was mocking him, he knew. It was threatening him. It was pointing out all the things he never was and never would be. It stayed and sang its silly song. And that anger grew and grew and grew into hatred. And which is more powerful, after all? Shame, fear, or hatred? He rose up with a roar, finally having had enough. He had run away from everything to find peace. To release himself from shame, from fear, from hatred. It seemed it would never be his lot to be free of those things, anyway. So why not let him be taken by whatever monster stood just outside this door? He threw the door open. And no one was there. But in the fog, he saw something he'd missed the first time in his hurry to get warm. It was a monument of some kind. A tall stone by a tree. He walked towards it, drawn, knowing that's where the song came from. The closer he came, the more he realized with dread that it was a grave. He was very close, and suddenly the humming stopped. It made him stop, and a good thing too, for the ground was open below him. There was a pit, an open grave, apparently. And in it sat, smiling, holding a rotted wooden instrument. A skeleton. Not fresh, but still with its dusty hair and long nails and warm clothes. He looked at the headstone. And on it was written the following words.
I love you, said I.
I love you, said you.
I love everyone.
I don't know or I do.
I love you together.
I love you alone.
I lived life in love with you all on my own.
love you, said I love you, said you. I'll love everyone I don't know or I do. I love you together, I love you alone. I live life in love with you, all on my own.
The bitter man clenched his jaw at the beautiful words. He ground his teeth at their saccharine message. For how on earth did this soul love him? It was a pleasant lie. It was a lie based in ideals, in a belief he didn't share. A nice message for a lonely and probably insane soul. He didn't know if they were man or woman or neither or both. He didn't know if they were old or young or handsome or hideous. He didn't know their politics, their intellect, whether they actually could play that instrument in their dead hands at all. But there they were, alone in the grave they must have dug by themselves, after a solitary life, all alone. Pretty lies. That's all. No one would love me, the man thought, if they knew me. If they knew the rotten thoughts in my head. If they learned all the selfish things I'd done. If they felt the pain I brew inside me, or have caused in others. If they knew my shame. If they knew my fear, if they knew my hatred. In that moment, he heard a sigh behind him. He felt a gentle touch on his shoulder. He turned round, and there were those flickering, golden eyes, only a breath away from his own face. He couldn't see anything else of the person. The skeleton had revealed so little, other than that they grinned and they sang. And when their time came, they dug their own grave, wrote their own epitaph, and sat down in the earth joyfully, and sang until their last breath, love for every one, but not for me, the man whispered, shaking, as those eyes didn't falter, only looked into his.
I love you.
The voice sighed. No, you don't, the man said, though his jaw unclenched a little and his teeth parted a bit.
I do.
You don't know me.
You don't know me.
I love you, said I love you. Said you, I'll love everyone I don't know or I do. I love you together, I love you alone. I lived life in love with you all on my own.
The man found his way inside the stranger's home, and he tidied it up. He repaired the instrument that was in their hands. He buried the skeleton. He said some kind, loving words, and he learned to play the solitary specter's song at their grave, under their tree. Spring came, and then summer, and with it fruit and vegetables and fish and rabbits and bumblebees and daisies. And he had his wish, his desire to live alone. But he wasn't alone. He would never be alone. Never, ever. For which is more powerful, after all? Shame, fear, hatred, or love? I'll go back to her tonight. The one typing this as we speak. I'll remind her that we are friends. I'll remind her that I love her. She forgets sometime. And I know she loves me, too. We're trying to love everything, you see. And you're a part of that, too. Sweet dreams. Hello, my friends, and thank you so much for listening to episode 266 of On a Dark, Cold Night. This is your host, writer, narrator, composer, podcaster, solitary specter, etc., Kristen Zaza. How has your experience been this full moon? Have you had a chance to look at it? Have you had a moment to reflect on all you've been able to do, to explore, to love, leading up to it? And how will you rest? How will you settle into yourself now that it will start its waning? Thank you so much, as always, to everyone who supports the show on a monthly basis on Patreon, where every supporter of $1 or more a month US gets access to my complete soundtrack, and every supporter of $5 or more a month US gets that, a weekly bonus meditation episode, and a monthly tarot reading video uploaded on the full moon. I will say that this month's reading that I released yesterday heavily influenced the direction that I went in for this episode. And I was unable to do that reading until midnight last night, so I'm grateful that I listened to my instincts and delayed that episode just a bit to let some of those concepts sink in. You can learn more about joining my Patreon and getting the perks there by visiting patreon.com/darkcoldnight. You can also donate one time only with no perks at ko-fi.com/darkcoldnight or by buying a t-shirt or hoodie at bonfire.com/on-a-dark-cold-night. The Quick Moment bonus meditation episodes are also available on the Sonar Plus Apple Podcast channel for $3.99 a month, where you can also access lots of great bonus content from other Sonar Network shows. Look up On a Dark Cold Night on iTunes to learn more. You can also find my new album, Favorite Little Songs from On a Dark Cold Night, Volume 2, on Spotify, Apple, or I believe other streaming services by looking up Kristen Zaza there. I'd love to have you have a listen. It would also be wonderful if you left me a rating or review on Apple, Spotify, Facebook, or anywhere, really. You can follow me on social media, on Facebook and YouTube under On a Dark Cold Night, on Instagram at Dark Cold Night Podcast, on Blue Sky and TikTok under Kristen Zaza, KristenZaza, or on Twitter at A Dark Cold Night. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. I will need to miss next week's episode, I think. I mean, never say never, but I'll be back at it the following week either way. Wishing you lots and lots and lots of love.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network. Sonar.